Hi, everyone. Welcome to Octopod. We are the hosts of this podcast. My name is Allie.
And I'm Nick.
And my name is Ray.
This podcast is produced by Octo, or Open Communications for the Ocean. Octo also produces newsletters, shares literature and news, runs listservs, and more, all about the ocean. Each week, we will be sharing a little bit of the news and literature that has come to our attention in the past week. We are super excited to share what we have learned each week with you ocean lovers, and if you don't love the ocean yet, we are here to help. So without further ado, let's use a common ocean pun and dive right in.
Hi everyone, I'm Ray with the news. Today I'm going to discuss two researchers with differing views, and instead of righteous twittering over whose research is right, these two have decided to work together to gain a higher truth, we think. Edward Allison from the University of Washington's School of Marine and Environmental Affairs was recently interviewed by News Deeply's Ocean Deeply in Fish Fight, Is Aquaculture Feeding the People Who Need It Most? His research has found that the food produced through fish aquaculture does not actually go towards the communities that farm them, which can be in poorer nations, thus not helping those who need it most. In a separate study, published in Global Food Security by Ben Bolton from Michigan State University, points opposite to Allison's findings. Fish farms are supplying those who need food most with necessary sustenance. In a turn of events, Allison agrees. Fish farms are helping those in poorer nations receive food. However, Allison says that he is also still right in that most of the food produced through fish aquaculture is sent out of the country produced, and thus are not feeding those who need it in-house. What I like about these two scientists and their results is that they are talking directly to each other, learning from what each of them find. Instead of ignoring contrasting results, they're responding to them and trying to understand more fully what the differences are.
Always so nice to hear happy, kind people on Twitter for once.
I know. As people who tweet quite a bit with our Octo Twitter account, we have several experiences of differing views taking shape. Nick, wouldn't you agree?
I'm just like, I don't even think I could say anything publicly in a way that, yeah, I totally agree.
Let's all try to be a little bit nicer on Twitter.
Yes, and let's all try to share our research and be open with opposite viewpoints about our research.
Yeah, I mean, that is like the whole point of science, right? I mean, like, the whole point of science is that it's supposed to be, you know, self-correcting, that there's supposed to be, you know, research looking into research and, you know, people replicating methodology and all that jazz.
Which is why it's always so crazy when people get so bunghurt.
Yes.
When someone's like, wait.
That's a great word. I've never heard that word. Bunghurt.
Bunghurt.
She's a Michigan.
The bunghole, as I like to say.
Can we say that on podcast?
We can say anything on podcast.
We can say anything on podcast. We just put a little, sorry, we might say bung.
Definition below.
Definition below.
All right, well, let's move into literature. I'm Allie, and I want to talk about my favorite research paper of the week. The paper is called Considering the Importance of Metaphors for Marine Conservation. It's by Alistair Nielsen, and I might be bungling that word, that name, but I could be saying it right. I hope I am. It's going to be published in Marine Policy right now. It's in press. And it's basically about, as the title says, why metaphors are important for marine conservation. So metaphors can help us grasp things that are hard to understand, but sometimes what we are using them for can backfire. An example that the author gives of this in the paper is that the plastic pollution that's swirling in the North Pacific Gyre, we call that the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. And then we often compare the size of that to Texas, which is kind of ironic because Texas is like kind of desert-like and the ocean's very wet and also very full of life and has a lot of biodiversity. And when we think of a desert, we think of nothing. But the pollution in this garbage patch is spread out. A lot of it consists of small, really hard to see particles. And there's a big disconnect between the visual we think of when we hear Great Pacific Garbage Patch and the actuality of the situation. So when this happens, the metaphor can backfire and it can lead to inaction instead of action. I think some of us can probably relate for when when we talk to our friends and we say the Great Pacific Garbage Patch and they think of an island of trash. But when you go to the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, one, you can't actually go there. It's just a bunch of swirling things. You can't really see a lot of it. It's in the water column. So this metaphor backfires and things don't happen. New change does not happen. So the author gives us some examples of some good metaphors that resonate with people and bring up images in our minds that are rooted in what we know already or we've seen, whether that's in media or in person. My favorite one he gives refers to ocean acidification as osteoporosis of the sea. He also talks about one that refers to coral reefs as lungs of the ocean. Obviously, I like ones that are super related to humans and apparently are innards. But one of the biggest points that Alistair brings up in this research, which I've sort of already covered, is that what we are describing through our language cannot be disconnected from the actuality of the situation. If that's true, then nothing will happen or negative coverage will even happen. The two criteria that Alistair emphasizes that we need to think about when we are creating metaphors is that, and this is a quote, firstly, the image conjured must be embedded in some shared cultural idea. It must be effective in raising awareness of helping to relate specific information around marine conservation. And secondly, they must be rooted in both scientific knowledge, i.e. the imagery conjured must reflect the actuality of the situation. Reading this article, I thought about a conversation that's currently happening on a listserv that we run. You can join by going to marinedebris.info. On it, we're discussing different things that come to mind when you compare different terms for plastic pollution, whether that be marine debris, plastic pollution, ocean garbage, ocean trash, and what is the best way to phrase that to get a message out. For what we want to do. Depending on what you want to do, it might be different. Please go join that listserv. And I would love to hear what you think might be a better metaphor for the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. Let's all start communicating more and debating these words, and hopefully more will get done.
Absolutely. You know, I actually did think that there was a giant patch just floating around the ocean for so friggin' long.
Oh my gosh,
Nick. I think you told me that didn't exist.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, no, it's wrong. I was like, yeah, totally, Nick. Yeah, it doesn't exist. And I was like, yeah, it does. And then I went and looked it up and I was like, oh. And it still confuses me because I still imagine a great big patch.
Yeah, I was talking to a photographer named Chris Jordan, who actually has a lot of photos of birds filled with plastic. You've probably seen them around. And when he first got interested in ocean plastic, he was like, I'm going to go to the Great Pacific Garbage Patch and I'm going to climb the top of the mast and I'm going to take a big picture of just floating trash everywhere. And then he found out that that did not exist and was very disappointed. But then he figured out a way to still disseminate the issues with plastic that we have in our ocean.
Like the great plastic gyra? No.
Yeah, no.
I don't have any ideas for a metaphor, so you guys help me.
Plastic. I always like plastic soup. I always thought that plastic was like soup. The most relatable in terms of what
like
it actually
that.
Is.
Large bowl of plastic soup.
Yeah. Appetizing. Yeah, which as Allie mentioned, so we run a listserv on marine debris. You can join it at marinedebris.info. There's a robust discussion going on right now all about, you know, the terminology between marine litter, marine debris, plastic pollution, that kind of stuff. So we'd love to have a discussion go about, you know, how do we rephrase, rename, re-metaphor the Great Pacific Garbage Pack. So, you know, join the listserv, marinedebris.info for more information.
We promise we don't bite.
Yes.
Mostly.
So in other Octo news, this is Nick again, by the way. Sarah Carr with the Marine Ecosystems and Management, or MEME newsletter, has the April issue out. So that April issue focuses on trainings for marine management. Topics like marine spatial planning, marine protected areas. There are graduate courses, there are on-demand courses like professional development capacity training courses, that kind of thing. The Ocean Health Index has an online training course that's listed there. There's also a bunch of in-person Mark Sand with Mark Sand with Zones trainings coming out from PacMara, including one at IMCC5. So definitely give those a check. There's also the EBM toolbox for this issue. Focuses on a new tool from Rain Spatial Planning and how you can basically like co-locate different uses in the OSIN. So this research was specifically developing a new analytical framework for MSP. And the idea was that basically, instead of lumping together everything into a single metric related to fisheries, there are 7 distinct metrics covering things like wild capture fisheries, disease outbreaks from aquaculture. There are 3 metrics for aquaculture itself, plus benthic habitat health and things like that. And basically the idea is just to have a much more comprehensive look at the ocean and how all these different industries can coexist together without just necessarily focusing everything on fisheries, because, like, surprise, there are other uses in the ocean besides fisheries. In other Octo news from Meme, we also have a couple new Markhive summaries coming out. So those of you that are new to Markhive, Markhive is the open science repository for the ocean sciences. So we have preprints and postprints of otherwise paywalled materials so that you can actually read them for free without having to pay, you know, $30 to $50 to download each paper. So we are summarizing papers that get shared with us, and I will be summarizing 3 papers this week. One is on marine protected areas, the other one is on marine spatial planning, and the other one is on fisheries enforcement in the high seas of the Arctic. So prepare for those to come out in the next week or so, depending on how long it takes me to actually read the papers and write them.
And for me to make this podcast, so they might already be out.
Yes. So chances are the summaries will probably be out by the time this comes out. Hopefully, anyway. One of the papers is a law paper, and it's like 35 pages, and I haven't read a law paper since my master's, so it's going to take a while. Is there anything else we had to mention?
No, I mean, speaking of Meme and the new trainings database that we've kind of created, if you have any trainings that you guys are offering through your organizations or trainings that you know of, please send those along. You can tweet at us. You can email us. There's lots of ways to get in contact. We are always on the computer.
Yes, we are on Twitter at OpenOcto and at Markhive Papers. So that's OpenOcto. And Markhive Papers, MARXIVPAPERS.
You can also find us on Facebook, Open Octo. Same name.
Yeah, so send us those trainings and we'll throw them up on the database and get them out to the world so people can join. To dive deeper into the content we talked about this week, check out the episode notes or go to openchannels.org where you can find a link for this podcast. Thank you all for listening in. Please rate us on iTunes and give us a shout with any feedback you have. We would love to hear from you. Bye for now.